these two. Hello, you're live on Balls to the Wall with Grim there.
And Selective Vision.
Selective Vision.
Yeah, that's about perfect segue into tonight's topic and some of the engagement I've been getting.
Well, before you go on, caller, why don't you introduce yourself to the people so they know who you are?
Oh, yeah, because I do know who I am, of course. This is Vincent Easley, and I am reporting. I'm a field for RealLibertyMedia.com. That's RLMRadio.xyz. I'm currently in Las Vegas in my tour around the country this year. So about 9 months in, I guess.
And that would be Las Vegas, Nevada?
Yeah, and not up the road from you in Mexico. But So, I'll be here a couple of months anyways through the Bundy trial, which will start October the 10th. And that's Vincent Ray Easley, the third birthday.
The third? Oh, I thought you were a junior.
No, I'm the second.
You're the second or you're the third?
Second.
So you're a junior?
No, the second. You know, like King Vinny the Second, right?
All right. So now you have a report for us about some wrongdoings in the Just Us system. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. And I'm going to premise this with a couple of introductions here. This is a response to a video I put up about a year ago, not showing an ID to a state trooper. Now, thanks to Minds.com and a share over there, and I've been here, who has really been instrumental in getting a lot of the word out with Hal Anthony, especially. Appreciate you. So I'm pretty sure if I refreshed it, it would just be now over 33,000 views, which is like 31,000 more than what it started out as here just a few short weeks ago. 63 comments. Oh, and I'm signed in as Real Liberty Media here. And we did give that a thumbs up. But so I want to talk about that free press. We're going to lead into. I want to talk about the purpose in filming this. It was the first time I ever filmed a cop. First of all, so I start into the filming well in after the stop, and I'd like to, state this, that, I'll skip down just a little bit. A guy had made a comment that a trooper about 25 years ago had been, he was killed by somebody in behind him like that. So I can imagine that, this trooper right here will probably have gotten some slack. I'm pretty sure a lot of other cops have seen it and so forth. But I'd like to make the statement there that, you know, he didn't have any feeling any threat for me. I was wearing shorts. I was coming back from the river, flip-flops and shorts, no shirt. When he pulled us over, you know, I'm gonna follow standard operating procedure in this manner. I'm going to keep my hands in plain sight, make sure that, he knows there's not a threat. So, but this cop, he knew the driver and had pulled him over several times before. The guys know. I'm pretty much any of the deputy sheriffs out there and the sheriff know me, and many of them on a first name basis. So this trooper never encountered me before, and he's doing what his job is, and so patrolling. So he's going to run me for warrants. He did admit because I asked him. I just wanted to make a record of it, not to be a smart aleck, not to be a burr, maybe a bit of a burr under the saddle, to give him that maybe a perhaps a little hitch in his giddy up on how he goes along after this. Call into question, because if they're going to try to hold this account legally, then they need to be able to stand for the law. All right, so that's my purpose, not to be a troublemaker, but to set a record. and ask some questions. So there's a lot of comments there. Some of them are good. Some of them are hateful, but that's just fine. But like I said, I am a bit embarrassed by the number of views here, and I just feel like it needed a little further explanation on my part. So that'll be that. And
you got a link for that?
Pardon?
So you have a link for that?
Oh, yeah, I sure do. I'll grab it. And let me hand you the mic just a second while I do that. And I'll have a swallow this right here.
So, yeah, Vinny's going viral on the YouTubes. And I got to say, you know, if you didn't have some hateful comments, then you weren't making an impact. So I think you're doing all right. Having those in there on that.
Absolutely. And I don't mind getting them. I'm not a junior frumpy. So there it is. It's dropped there into the chat. You're probably hearing it now.
You've seen it already. We got it.
Also on Twitter, because Gary Hunt, who recently redacted his publications on the informants, that the FBI documents that got leaked were mailed to him. But anyway, so posting a bunch of that on Twitter, and a lot of people trolling, scrolling, which, you know, what they say, no bad press. So that's good. It's getting more exposure by these people coming along with their ridiculous logical fallacies. And, I'm not going to chase those rabbit trails. I'm not going to come up and try to defend every accusation. That's not my point. My point is this matter of free press. And I would cite an example. Let me open that. Wrong one. That's Freedom's Network, paper.lee. Wrong one. I guess I didn't open it. But it's Los Angeles versus the United States, and that is on the Pentagon Papers. So it was during the Nixon era, and the Pentagon Papers, just real briefly, is a study done by McNamara of the Vietnam War for what he said for history's memoirs. But anyways, Nixon tried to, charge him with espionage and all this other stuff, but later the charges was dropped when they found out, of course, through Watergate, that Nixon had targeted him. But anyways, that sets precedence, at least certainly, that leaked information. It was later in court, that it was okay in publishing that. So here we have Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom, and he's been writing for nearly 25 years now. So they try to make him look like he's something less than a journalist by calling him a blogger. But, in fact, he is an accomplished writer, has been engaged in the fight for freedom for a very long time. So kudos to him. He and I spoke over the phone here a couple of days ago and then again yesterday. And so with this suggestion, I'm republishing a bit. Well, I'd already republished it, and it's not like he's telling me to do something, but he had said to me that, there was so much because I put him in 10, lots of 10. So I'm just going to break them down and republish them one at a time. There's 9 of them, so one of them's out. And for that Twitter seller there, no, I'm not making money. I put that steaming up. I just started it. Was it today or yesterday? I don't care about no pennies, no nickels, whatever. I'm not in this in commerce, and I don't have any of my stuff monetized, not YouTube or nothing. So, all those views mean little or nothing, other than the fact that information's going around. And well, it's me having questions. I don't claim to be an authority on anything. I'm just the person with a lot of questions and engaging in life. So, on with the with Gary Hutt. He received these documents in the mail on a thumb drive, and it was a published list of informants, and it was an FBI document that went to the courts, and they didn't mean for that information to get there, because it listed all the activities of people involved, and they don't want it to be figured out who their informant was. Well, Mr. Hunt, through investigation and interviews and talking with other people, put it all together who those people were, and then he took the documentation to prove it.
Let me ask you a question here.
Yes.
He received this in the mail on a thumb drive. Does he know the source of that thumb drive?
No. It could have been a leaker from the FBI themselves, for all we know.
All right, so sympathizer. Excuse me, what's that? Something. Yeah, so it must have been somebody not necessarily agreeing with the prosecutors on that.
Okay, I missed it. I'm sorry.
I was just asking you, so it's probably somebody that did not agree with the prosecution.
Yeah, and it was surmised that perhaps it was somebody in the defense side, whether it be a lawyer or one of the people, the defendants. But who knows?
Well, if it was a defense side, okay, that's believable. But, I mean, was there a gag order or something?
No.
I mean, that's public documents once it's to the court.
Yeah, but I don't know exactly how that worked, but they were quickly trying to retrieve that. But it was redacted. There was a finding of facts and law for September 17th. January 5th, there was a letter from the U.S. attorney delivered by the FBI to Gary Hunt, and basically, you know, calling for a cease and desist. That's not the right word, sir. So, but anyways, he was arrested April 2017. August 23rd, he had a show cause, and that was his stand is that it's to inform the public. So the prosecution, they filed a memorandum and would drop the charges if the offending materials were taken down from his website. So U.S. District Court Judge Anna Brown, she issued a contempt of court for having delivered the informant's name. I guess that delivering was a publication. So anyways, here, let me flip the page. Well, so the long story short here comes is that Mr. Hunt took the offending material down. It's all redacted, but like I said, without all of that, I'm probably not the only one, but I have stepped front and center, so to say, in putting that information out and letting people know. So I have, like I said, put myself in the spotlight. And I think freedom of the press, that is free speech. The First Amendment is very important. And the Second Amendment go hand in hand, and that's where we go back to the Bundy Ranch, and it's the same there at Malheur. Now, Ammon and some of the other boys up there in Oregon in the first trial, of course, they were not convicted of anything. And there's a second round, and some of those guys were. The prosecution, the state here in this U.S. District Court is really, they're getting to make as many pitches as they want to. And, they keep striking out here in this prosecution, and they've really put themselves on trial. And I think they're getting a black eye. Now, there's talk on jury nullification. What is in the minds of the jurors? Which brings me over to, this is from Gary, one of his, well, let's see, it comes from Readout News, Liberty, Laws, Justice, and Despotism. And I'd like to read about three paragraphs here. So for more than 600 years, that is, since Magna Carta in 1215, there's been no clearer principle of English or American constitutional law than that in criminal cases, it is not only the right and duty of jurors to judge what are the facts, what is the law, and what was the moral intent of the accused, but that is also their right and their primary and paramount duty to judge the justice of the law and to hold all laws invalid that are, in their opinion, unjust or oppressive, and all persons guiltless in violating or resisting the execution of such laws. Unless such be the right and duty of jurors, it is plain that instead of jurors being a palladium of liberty, a barrier against the tyranny and oppression of the government, they are really mere tools of its hands. For carrying into execution any injustice and oppression it may desire to have executed. But for the right to judge of law and the justice of the law, jurors would be no protection to an accused person, even as to matters of fact. For if the government can dictate to a juror any law whatever, in a criminal case, it can certainly dictate to them laws of evidence. That is, it can dictate what evidence is admissible, what is inadmissible, and also what force or weight is to be given to the evidence admitted. And if the government can thus dictate to a jury, the laws of evidence, it can not only make it necessary for them to convict on a partial exhibition of the evidence rightfully pertaining to the case, but it can even require them to convict on any evidence, whatever it pleases to offer them. So that the rights and duties of jurors must necessarily be such as here claimed for them and will be evident when it is considered what the trial of the jury is and what is its object. So, further reading there, that's just a small little piece. And when I put this all together here, when we cut this and stuff, I'll include links and also to the Pentagon Papers and so forth. I'll pause and catch my breath and hand you to Mike Grimmer.
All right, yeah. I look at the case and the one up in Oregon, the Malheur deal, and all I could think, the only thing they could really possibly even get him on would be trespassing, which I'm not even sure that's valid since it was public land, which they're supposed to have right of way to. But all the other charges that they filed against these boys, those are all trumped up, and the fact that they had informants and spies going on in there in the first place, that seems to be something beyond the scope of what their powers ought to be, considering what was going on. Everything was open there. There was no reason to send in a spy. I mean, everything was out there on the internet. Everybody could see what was happening, and they were telling you what they were doing. So,
The big thing with the guys that you know, the informants, you know, several of them were involved in perpetrating what might be, you know, illegal acts. I mean, we could talk about this forever, all the times they send in, you know, their operatives to, you know, manipulate situations. And I've seen it firsthand in Bunkerville. And it's just, you know, straight out of the play clock. It's important for the defense to have this information. I mean, anything that's being used as a government, just what I just read, you know, we got to consider what is the tool here. It's not for the government to persecute, but for the people, the juror, that is the country. There's more reading on that. You'll find that in the link. And that is a juror, and that is the country.
Did you give me that link?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
And I'm away from the computer right here.
All right.
So, you know, I stepped out here into the backyard looking over at the lights of Nellis Air Force Base. I get my own private air show every day. Front seat. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, the temperature is pretty nice here, especially at night. Wonderful. And I'm going to get out into the night here tomorrow night. I'm going to meet my cousin when he gets off work. And so I will be in another location by Sunday. Anyway. Anyways, I'd like to just think that the people involved in this trolling, see here, you know, I kind of enjoy it in so many ways, and, you know, really, in other ways, they don't deserve any response because they're not even up to par. You know, candy coatings wore off with me, you know, kind of like I guess gotten too many lessons from behind the woodshed. I just feel like, you know, things have to be.
How many licks did it take to get to the middle?
Well, I ain't to the middle yet, baby, but I've got a lick around the rim.
All right.
But truly, freedom of speech here. Well, where do you draw the line?
There's no line.
A lot of people are rubbed raw by him. You know, I have personal experience working with Janine Gordon and as Jaja with Suzanne Posel. Both of them had run-ins with Pete, and I'd worked with both of those girls before going to Bundy Ranch. And when I met Pete, when I first saw him, I didn't know who the guy was. I was like, who's this guy? You know, dog eyeing around, and we locked eyes, and we're like, scrutinizing each other. Personally, I didn't care much for the guy's style, and all prejudice aside, I think some of his language was obviously, you know,
inflammatory.
Inflammatory and a bit, you know, hidden in a way, ambiguous, I guess. But that's his style. He's one to be shock jock type of guy, right? Me, I don't give a crap for fame. I don't care how many people will click or whatever. I ain't doing it for money or fame. I'm, you know, speaking up because this is what I've concluded in life that this is what we have an obligation to do and to set a record.
Yeah, all we can do is try to get the information out there, and people are going to listen to it or not.
Yeah. Well, if you can affect one person, you've done something. So, and that begs the question, and they will also do the same. It can be exponential at some point. And, you know, we really do, and I've said this so many times, we have, the first time in history, we have an opportunity as a collective to make things right. There's enough information and knowledge out there that people know things ain't what they have been made to appear to be. You know, transparent. We've been seen through it. That's that transparency that Hal talks about. And the Hitch and the Giddy Up, by the way, search that there on Real Liberty Me. That was playing earlier. We're listening to that. And BTWRLM 200, Hal referenced that, and go back and listen. And so the BTL, I forget the number, the Hitch and the Giddy Up, that was a lot to do with Quo Warranto and dealing with the Bundys. And unfortunately, so much of Hal's information has fallen on deaf ears. He's, you know, tried to get the word out several times out to Sugar Pine Mine to the Oregon standoff. And, of course, was instrumental in at least shaping my thought there and how I perceived how I stepped through and amongst that jurisdiction that was out there.
BTWRLM
229. 229 for Hitch and the Giddy Up.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I probably missed But that's kind of basically it covering it. And we'll keep going on this. My brother's going to sit down with me, and maybe I'll be able to learn to actually do a make a video thing with this, whatever. He's got a good program or something. But if it's idiot proof, I may have a chance. I about forgot. Jay Cynthia Brooks, my web wife, beautiful actress and daytime soap star from It's Fun, and whom I've produced radio for in the past. So yeah, we had a little publicity stunt, and I got engaged on Facebook there some time ago, 2 years back, maybe 4 guys, I don't know. lot of fun. And anyway, she's looking to get back into radio, so I talked to her and I told her to get some stuff together, and we'll get together and have a little talk and see what we can come up with. But very interesting person, and her program would be based on holistic healings and healing and so forth. She's a cancer survivor, cured herself. I hate that word, sorry. She corrected the causation of cancer and beat it many, many years ago. She's a great gal and a good entertainer. We've cut up quite a bit on the radio. She and I did several broadcasts together, and I closed her broadcast series out at UCY.TV, Cancer Kickers. Previous to that was I Cure Cancer with Ian Jacqueline. Ian, I always mix up the English and American pronunciation. He's a film star, kickboxing champion from Canada. Pretty neat guy. Impressive career as well. So I look forward. Hopefully, we can bring that together. Not often you get to speak on the phone with a movie star, but a lot of fun. She really is.
Yeah, well, that'd be great. So you're gonna like do a show and bring her on?
Yeah, you know what? That'd be a good idea. If let's figure out broadcasting here. I brought my sound blaster with me, but if I only have one computer, I might have to see what I can do and tie into my brother's or something and broadcast through there.
You could do it on little one here. You could do it on just the one.
Perhaps. I had trouble there in Arkansas with this, that one. I had to use my two computers together.
Yeah. Let me just tell you to take a look at Rocket Broadcaster software. It's not perfect or anything like that, but it should handle your some of your audio issues.
Well, when we come to that point, I will be calling Grimner to the rescue.
All right, Grim Dandy. Yeah. All right, man.
All right, well, I'm headed back to the keyboard. Thanks, Grimner.
All right.
I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you, and I'll ask you to cut this, and I'll put it up to YouTube. And hopefully I'll be able to maybe... put that over onto some video or something background. I don't know if this one will make it to that cut. I probably won't get to through the learning process to do that for this, but anyways.
All right, well, throw the link there in the chat, and thanks for calling, and find any good stuff out there in Vegas, go out and report on it.
I sure will. I will be doing it, and see you in chat.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Vincent Easley there with the update on the Hunt situation. And, of course, I guess they feel like they can do whatever the hell they please because that's what they do, so they must feel that way. I don't really have any other explanation for them other than they think they can do whatever the hell they please, so they do. I guess they think nobody's going to stand up and say anything. against them because they're the mighty and powerful Oz of your land. But every now and then we get somebody that that has exactly that ability and goes ahead and does so. So.